لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. My dear respected Muslims, coming on to the 14th juz of the Quran. Inshallah, today very briefly we'll take a lesson from the 14th and the 15th. The lesson we'd like to take from the 14th juz of the Quran is Allah Rabbul Izzah mentions
وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا.
Allah gives you and I an example of a woman who spends a lot of time sewing something. And after having sewn the item, she then shreds all her work into pieces. So she took so much time to sew this item or this cloth or wherever it may have been. And after doing that, she shreds it to pieces only for the next day to come and for her to repeat the process. This ayah is referring to specifically vows that a person makes. He shouldn't go back and break his vow. Similarly, a person shouldn't begin a form of ibadah, whether it be salah or hajj, and then finish and then stop it without completing it. Similarly, certain Arab tribes who had an allegiance with another tribe would break that allegiance just to align themselves with a bigger and larger tribe. But there's a general lesson we can take from this. And that's what we would like to take as the lesson of the 14th juz, is that through this month of Ramadan and through our lives, we exhaust our energies in doing many ibadat, many forms of worship. But the sad reality is, after exhausting yourself to do that form of worship, after working hard to make that money and put it in sadaqah, we are like this woman who shreds her cloth to pieces by destroying our a'mal by doing sins. Allah gave the example of that woman day in, day out. She would spend so much time to sew her article, her cloth. And then every night she would shred it to pieces. The morning comes again, she spends her time. The night comes, she shreds it to pieces. Similarly, the lesson of the 14th juz of our Quran is for us, safeguard your actions. Rasulullah ﷺ is sitting with his companions and he asked them, O my Sahaba, atadruna mal muflis? O my Sahaba, do you know that who is the bankrupt person? Who is someone who is bankrupt? So then Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they mentioned, man la dirhama lah wa la dinara lah. O Messenger of Allah, the man who doesn't have the pound and the dollar, he's a bankrupt person. So Rasulullah tells them, no. The bankrupt person is that person who will come on the day of Qiyamah with so many a'mal behind him. He'll have salah, he'll have siyam, he'll have fasting, he'll have qiyam, he'll have sadaqah, he'll have so many acts of goodness. But then, shatama hadha, daraba hadha, he done this man wrong, he took some of his good deeds. Then someone else comes, oh Allah, this man swore at me, he cursed at me, give him some of your good deeds. Oh Allah, this man hit me, give him some of your good deeds. Oh Allah, this man done this to me, oh Allah, this man in a business deal, he deceived me, give him some of your good deeds. So Rasulullah said, the bankrupt person is that person on the day of Qiyamah, he comes with so many a'mal, but then he's left with nothing. Don't be like that woman who spent her whole day sewing the cloth only at night to destroy it. Don't be like that person who spent his whole life trying to come closer to Allah, but he done so many sins that he was destroying his own actions. The month of Ramadan, we exert ourselves, but we need to learn to protect what we have done. Yesterday we were mentioning in Qiyamul Layl that in Ramadan we pay so much attention that nothing should come in my mouth. But equal attention needs to be given that the wrong thing doesn't come out of my mouth. We do good actions, we come closer to Allah, safeguard those actions. You'll see the fruits of it in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Coming on to the 15th juz of the Quran. So many lessons that can be derived, but the lesson we'll take. Last year, I think when we spoke about the 15th juz, we spoke about the whole incident of Mi'raj and the importance of Salah. The lesson we'd like to take from the 15th juz this year, we did make mention of it last year, but just to expand and elucidate on it, that We know in the 15th juz of the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf is there. Did anyone check yesterday if there's 309 words? Allahu Akbar. Khair inshaAllah. So we come on to the Surah Al-Kahf. Some of the disbelievers from Mecca, they appoint two individuals and they tell these two that go to Medina and to the Jews of Medina and tell them about Muhammad. Describe Muhammad to them. So these two individuals who are appointed, they go to Madinatul Munawwara. They speak to the Jews of Madinatul Munawwara, the people of the Torah, the people of the book. And they tell the Jews of Medina that there's this man by the name of Muhammad. These are his sifat, these are his characteristics, these are the things he is saying. So what do you have to say to us with regards to him? How do you advise us? How can we test if he is speaking the truth? So the Jews of Medina, they give these two individuals three questions. They say to these two individuals, go back to Mecca, go to Muhammad and ask him these three questions. If he answers these three questions correctly, then he is a truthful messenger. If he can't answer these three questions, then you can do whatever you like with him, he is false. What were the three questions they were told to ask? Number one was, ask him with regards to the youngsters of the cave. The second is, ask him with regards to that person who traverses the earth, Dhul Qarnayn. And the third question is, ask this man with regards to the soul. So these two individuals come back to the Quraysh and they tell them that you sent us and we have to ask Muhammad these three questions. These three questions will determine his truthfulness. So they come to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and they tell him, oh Muhammad, we have three questions for you. So they ask him the questions and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam tells them, okay, come back to me tomorrow, I will give you the answer to your questions. So they leave. They come back the next day, no wahi has come on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They come back the second day, still no wahi. 15 days pass and they begin to mock Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you told us to come tomorrow, you'll have our answers. It's been 15 days, still no answer. This means you are a false prophet. This means you are batil. This means you are not upon the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam begins to worry. The people are mocking him. He said he'll give them the answer the next day. It's been 15 days and over and he still hasn't given them the answer. After this wait and this period where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was waiting for wahi to descend upon him, the surah of Suratul Kahf was revealed unto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one of the ayat of that surah was a lesson to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and as a lesson for you and I. What is the ayah?
وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ.
O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, never ever say you will do something tomorrow except that you join with it inshaAllah if Allah wishes. When Rasulullah ﷺ told them that he'll give them the answer tomorrow, perhaps he forgot to say inshaAllah. So wahi was postponed for a period of time to show the importance to Rasulullah ﷺ and to his ummah, the importance of inshaAllah. Sulaiman ﷺ, he had numerous wives. Some narrations mention 70, 100, whatever the case may be. So one day, one night, he said, today I am going to spend some time with each of my wives. Each wife will give birth to a boy. Each boy will strive in the path of Allah. And each boy will give his life in the path of Allah. So he spends the night by each of his wives. None of his wives gave birth except one which gave birth to a stillborn child. Why? He forgot to say, inshaAllah. We can't underestimate the power of this. We can't do anything. Tomorrow I'm gonna go here, tomorrow I'm gonna go there, tomorrow I'm gonna go to university, tomorrow I'm gonna go to work, tomorrow I got a da'wah, I'm gonna go to eat by someone's house. We can't do nothing, nothing. The lesson of the 15th juz of the Quran is telling you and I, learn to place your trust in Allah. Learn to understand, I can't do anything except that which Allah wishes. Tomorrow I'm going to go and sell a certain item. Tomorrow I'm going to go do this. Don't worry, brother. Tomorrow I'm going to definitely deposit your money. Inshallah is paramount. It has to be on our tongues. Say it in your heart. Some brothers, subhanAllah, if you don't say it, within 1 second they remind you, brother, inshallah. It doesn't have to be on your tongue, it can be on your heart and your mind. Like those three boys, there was three boys sitting and a girl walks past. One of them, he looks for too long, so he says, astaghfirullah. The other one is so amazed by her beauty, he says, mashallah. And the third one says, inshallah, he got hopes to marry the girl. If the power of inshallah, we cannot comprehend. The impossible becomes possible through inshallah. What's the reason why the impossible becomes possible through inshallah? Because now you have accepted, I am helpless, I am hopeless. This matter which I wish to be done, I can't do it. And Allah becomes so pleased when we accept that we can't do anything and we hand over our affairs to Him, that Allah takes control of our affairs and He makes them happen. So the lesson we take, learn the importance of inshallah. The sunnah we'll take for today, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قرأ آية الكرسي في دبر كل صلاة مكتوبة لم يمنعه من دخول الجنة إلا أن يموت. The person who recites Ayatul Kursi after every fard salah, the only barrier between him and Jannah, him and paradise, him and eternal bliss, him and eternal happiness, is death. The moment he dies, his Jannah is reserved. How long does it take to recite Ayatul Kursi after every fard salah? 20 seconds, 30 seconds? So let's make it a habit from today. The importance of Ayatul Kursi we mentioned last year, the greatness of this ayah. But every fard salah, never ever should it be that I perform a fard salah and after it I don't recite Ayatul Kursi. Rasulullah ﷺ told us, recite Ayatul Kursi and the only barrier between you and Jannah is death. You just need to wait to die to enter your Jannah. So we make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzah, He allow us to understand the importance of handing over our affairs to our Creator, of handing over our affairs to our Master, our Sustainer, of handing over our affairs and understanding, I can't do anything. Anything. Not I can do most things, some things I need Allah's help. No, I can't do anything. I am hopeless, I am helpless. Illa an yasha Allah. Except if Allah wishes for something to happen and I exhaust my energies and I exert myself, Allah will make it happen. We make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzah, He allow us to love the Sunnah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah.